My bag? There was a black bag. What? No. Yeah, that is better. So, my dear devotees, if the ones in the first row can put mask on, and if you don't have a mask, then please sit back. Have mercy on me. If you have mask, then I can take my mask off. And it's easier to speak for me. Now, I was surprised yesterday when Gopal Krishna Maharaj talked that he was surrounded by people who had no mask. I mean, this is very irresponsible. You know, he's an old man, you know, any time. You young people, you don't have to worry about so much, but this age, you know, is critical. Hardly anybody survives in Corona. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Verse 10. Yes? 10? 10, 11, 10. No, that's not the verse. I was told something else. It was 10:1. What? Is that true? That's the verse. 11. Yes, 11? 12. Sarit tiragatam krishnam bhagnajunam atavayat ramam charuini deva Ramam Charoini Devi Kridantam Balakair Brisham. Saretira Gatam Krishnam Bhagyajunam Atavayat Ramam Charoini Devi Vidantam Balakair Brisham Saritira Gatam Krishnam Vadyajuna Atavyavayat Vavajuna Matavayat Ramam Charuni Deva. Ramam Charoini Devi Kridantam Balakair Brisham. Yes. Somebody? Saritira Gatam Krishnam ladies. One more. Ek Mataji. Saritira to the riverside. Gatam, who had gone. Krishnam unto Krishna. Bhagya Arjunam, after the pastime of breaking the Yamala Arjuna trees. Ata, then. Avayat, called. Ramam, Cha, as well as Balaram. Ruhini, the mother of Balaram. Devi, goddess of fortune. Kridantam, who were engaged in playing. Balakai, with many other boys. Prisham, with deep attention. One day, after uprooting the Yamala Arjuna trees, Ruhini Devi went to call Ram and Krishna, who had gone both to the riverside and were playing with the other boys with deep attention. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Mother Yashoda was more attached to Krishna and Balaram than Ruhini was, although Ruhini Devi was the mother of Balaram. Mother Yashoda sent Ruhini Devi to call Krishna and Ram from their play, since it was the right time for lunch. Therefore, Ruhini Devi went to call them, breaking their engagement to play. I take the next one as well, because it rounds up this Leela. Because of being too attached to playing with the other boys, Krishna and Balaram did not return, being recalled by Ruhini. That's important. They didn't listen, sir. Therefore, Ruhini sent Mother Yashoda to call them back, because Mother Yashoda was more affectionate to Krishna and Balaram. Yashodam Prishayam Asa, these very words show that since Krishna and Balaram did not care to return in response to the order of Ruhini, Ruhini, though it was Yashoda called her to do so, they would have returned only for Yashoda, who was more affectionate to Krishna Balaram. Omagyanti Midandasya, Vinandana Shalakaya Chakramitam Yatasmai Sivravima. Sitanya Manuvishtam Sabitam Yina Gutale, Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swaparantikam, Vandeham Siguru Sivata, Parakamalam Siguru Vaishnavam Sha. Sirupam Sagadratan Sahagana Ragunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sarvetam Svaduta Pajana Saitam Krishna Chaitana Devam Siddhartha Krishna Padan Sahagana Sarita Vishikam Dham Cham Sa. Hey Krishna Kauna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpati Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namasati Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhana Sutta Devi Pranamami Hari Preya Vansha Kalpatruvya Sa Kripa Sindhava Eva Cha Patitanam Pavanevya Vaishnava Viramon Maha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Gadadha Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare. So these are the pastimes of Krishna, which are full of emotions. There are material emotions, as we all know, and even they are present in the animal kingdom. Even they have emotions. I saw sometimes on the internet that there was a dog. It reminds me of Srila Swami's hat. I'm the dog of Prabhupada. Study a dog. And there's one report that there was one dog, his father, his husband, his master was ill. He had to go to the hospital. The dog followed, ran after the car. He ran and ran and ran, you know, to keep up with the car. And then when the man went in, this dog sat in front of the door of the hospital for 7 days and seven nights. It's minus 10. He wouldn't move. And the people of the hospital came out and gave him some food because they were all moved by this dog's faithfulness. You know, it's amazing. I mean, the dog came out, the dog leapt up to the master and licked his face, and you could see there was great emotion there, great love, even in the material world. I mean, I've heard even many times, because in Germany, in Western world, people keep dogs much more than in India. And many times when the master dies, the dog walks in procession behind the coffin, like everybody else. And then when he stays there, and when the custodian finishes the grave with sand, he sits on the sand, and he doesn't move till he's dead. He doesn't move, he dies. He stays there 3-4 days without eating, without sleeping, without eating, and he dies. So it's remarkable. Totally remarkable, even in the animal kingdom, you know. So that if he would have that love for Krishna, like this dog, you know, that's why I found this very nice that Srila Swami had his hat. I'm Prabhupada's dog. The love of dog for his master is extraordinary. If he would have that love for Krishna in the same way, you know, we all would go back to Godhead. Because, you see, the thing is, that in Christianity people pray that please Jesus forgive me my sins, and and they think that is the perfection. Yes, if you are free from sin, you do not go to the spiritual world, you go to Svarga Loka, to one of the, not even necessary Svarga Loka, to one of the heavenly planets, because you are free from sin, you have no reactions. But if you want to go to Krishna Loka or to anyone else, the Vaikuntha planets, we cannot go there without having love for Krishna. And that's very difficult to achieve. Not easy to love for Krishna, you know, because we are attached to ourselves, and to love God, that's the highest perfection of life. Samsiri Hari Toshana. Atha Pumbiya Dvija Shrestha Vanashrama Bhagasa. Svanushita Siddharamasya Samsidir Hari Toshanam, that the perfection is to worship God. That's the perfection, that's the highest. Lord Chaitanya also said that. That is actually religion. The highest religionist principle is to love God. And wherever we find it, Prabhupada was very broad-minded. If you can find it, that in Muslim religion there may be a saint who is totally absorbed in love of God. There's love of God. We should appreciate that. That's not ordinary. You know, it can happen everywhere by the mercy of Krishna. Such a person is called Kripa Siddhi. By the mercy of Krishna. It can happen everywhere. If somebody is serious, because Krishna is Samoham Sava Bhutishu Name Dveshyo Sinapara. I'm not partial, I'm equal to all. And he loves all living beings. Because he's a father, Ambid Sava Yonishu of all living entities. Sava Yonishu Kauntya, Ambidra Pradapita, he's a father of all. Consequently, because we share all in the same father, therefore we are all brothers and sisters. in whatever form we may be. And how do you kill, how can you kill your brother? Let me think for a moment. You know how many animals are killed every day for food? 3 billion. 3 billion. 30 trillion animals per year. Where's your love? How can you do this? How can you be so ignorant? And Prabhupada said that. And there's an article of Srila Prabhupada in Back to God in 1940. He said, unless the soul is seen in all creatures, unless people see the soul in all creatures, the dual craziness of happiness and distress will go on forever. And mankind will never find peace. You know, I give you an example. It's a little, just to show you something. So, here is the world clock. The world clock, how many children are killed in the womb. Every time I hit with my, that's one child. Look. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Every second a child is killed. It's right on this world clock. And I do not want to go deep into it, but there's more to it. There's more to it, not just killed in the womb. Now, in many countries, it is allowed that the child can be aborted just before birth. And that means that the child is coming out crying, and they throw it into a bucket. This civilization is doomed. There's no question about it. If you want to anger Krishna, go on like that. You will be destroyed. There's no, you cannot flourish. Humanity that kills even a child in the womb, even after birth, cannot flourish. Not possible. Impossible. You'll all die. You'll all be destroyed. Like there was this famous Russian writer and philosopher, Tolstoy. He was a vegetarian. And he said, as long as there will be animals being killed, there will be war. As long as there are slaughterhouses, there will be war fields. There will be war. And one war after the other. 35,000 in the First World War, 65,000 in the Second World War. Million. And the suffering of it. Of the innocent. You're not innocent. Why do we suffer? You know, Krishna says, according to your karma, karma deva netrina, under my control. The verse says, Sri Bhagavan Vacha. So Krishna himself said, under my personal supervision, you know, according to your karma, you're born in particular circumstances. And Prabhupada said, when there was this famous, I don't know if you have in Bombay, Kentucky Fried Chicken, KFC. And Prabhupada, there was an old man that's depicted there, Colonel Sanders with a beard. And Prabhupada pointed his stick, he said, for every chicken that is sold in his shop, he has to come back as a chicken, being killed as a chicken, millions, trillions of times. What a karma that is. How sinful. How sinful that is, you know. And people doing it without any thought. Because of ignorance. Because they have no knowledge. If you have knowledge, you will not do that. Because you understand every cruel deed will follow you for years. Will follow you for years. In due course of time, it will come back to you. You know, this is a law of nature. If you cause emotional pain or physical pain to others, it will come back to you. You have to suffer the exact amount of physical and mental pain you cause to somebody else. Therefore, because people have the tendency to be sinful, therefore Krishna sends suffering. Suffering. And a devotee, he can understand that the suffering is basically, let me just look it up. Yes. A devotee can understand that when he's in distress, that the Lord has come to him. The Lord has appeared, Prabhupada says, in the form of distress, just to relieve or purify the devotee from the contamination of the material world and from his karma. It is minimized because we are chanting Hare Krishna, but we should understand every distress that comes to us is coming from Krishna actually. It is a form of Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada continues, I find this very interesting. He says, Tate no kampam shukshamikshamano is a verse. Devotee sees every condition of distress as but another feature of the Lord. And the devotee therefore regards distress as a favor because the Lord understands that he is being cleansed of contamination. Then, Prabhupada says, very interesting, the appearance of distress is a negative process intended to give the devotee relief from the material world. It's a negative process. What does that mean? Anybody has an idea?
We don't want it.
No, that's not. You see, there's a negative process and there's a positive process. The positive process to become free from relief is Harinam, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Ram, 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 Hare Krishna. That's a positive. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. That's a positive. Aham Tvam Sarva Papi Vyo Moksha Isyami Masucha. They have in Bhagavad Gita Krishna said that. That's a positive. The negative is that you suffer. If you do not, later, thank you, but later. If you do not, if what do you mean do? If I do not turn to Krishna, and Krishna will come after us. He will come after us. If I do not learn by hearing, then we have to learn the hard way. There's no doubt about it. This is how that works. It's the hard way. Because we do not listen. We do not listen. This is our disease. Prabhupada said so many things that many times we don't listen. I was there actually when Srila Prabhupada, 2 days before I left the body, somehow or other I had the fortune to be there for 3 weeks. And so many times I was right in beside his bed, and so I heard him saying to his servant, can you give me medicine? And he said, Srila Prabhupada, I forgot. Because Prabhupada, he was a medical man, he would take the medicine like this, take it out of the glass, immediately close the glass, and then give you the medicine. Why? Because he may knock over the glass very easily. You know, with the elbow, you may knock over. So Prabhupada immediately takes the pill out and close the bottle, you know. By experience, he did that. And he said, did you close the bottle? He said, I forgot. And Prabhupada, that is your disease. He said, all of you. You know how to open bottles, but you don't know how to close them. You start so many new things, and you do not see the consequences. You don't see the consequences. And this is what we do. We open bottles. What is the material world? What is the situation of the present environmental crisis? In Spain, which has a very mild winter, since mankind has ever put its foot there, because it's Mediterranean, 33,000 miles south of Germany. They had, in the last weeks, I heard from my sister who lives there, 30 degree minus. People are dying. It has never been heard about. Where does it come from, opening bottles? Rivers are polluted, the oceans are polluted, the hearts are polluted, the body is polluted, the food is polluted, everything is polluted. With the help of science, so-called science, you know? Everything. Opening bottles. That Prabhupada describes in a nutshell, in a small way, namely this opening bottles. He delineates the whole philosophy as far as the suffering and the evils of the world. It's all self-inflicted suffering. Self-inflicted suffering. Whatever we see, where suffering, it is self-inflicted. Let's not put the finger. You did this to me, because Prabhupada said, three fingers point to yourself. Yeah? See, I'm pointing my finger towards the temple president, Brother Hari Prabhu. But three fingers point towards myself. That's the point. You know, that's the law of karma. That's the law we are living under. But people are so ignorant that they have no understanding. I remember one time I was distributing books in Germany, and I came to a car, and there was a boy and a girl about 16 years old, and they were making love. Not gross love, but they were kissing and fondling, etc. And I knocked at the window. I said, Hare Krishna. He said, oh, you're disturbing us. I said, I have a book for you. It is called The Nectar of Devotion. And devotion in Germany, the English word is clear. Devotion means devotion to God. In German language, it is not clear. It means both. The surrendering to love is also devotion. Same word, you know? So, he said, I don't want that book. She said, The Nectar of Devotion, the nectar of, you know, surrendering yourself to a husband in carnal love. He said, I want to read that. Buy it. He said, all right. He bought it. He grabbed it, pulled it out of the cellophane. He said, again cheated. He said, why? He said, it's all about God. It's all about God. She felt cheated. He said, again cheated. He said, why? It's all about God. So they feel cheated. They are such cheaters, and when God comes to them, they think he's a cheater. Because they are cheaters. You see? It's amazing. Somebody gives him a book. It's like Krishna's mercy. And he says, again, cheated. Remarkable. The ignorance. They think religion to be irreligion, and irreligion to be religion. That's what you have. Why are we so harassed sometimes by other religions? Because they have no knowledge. They have no knowledge. You know, we have a temple, we have deities. When we built this temple, practically speaking, the temple was destroyed. It was a work of God. Do not destroy the work of God. Whether it's nature, or whether it's in relationship, or whether it's in other living beings, like the children in the womb that are left to die in the medical tray, crying. It takes about an hour till he dies. Think about that. You know, it says, to what extent mankind wants to go, it is impossible that Krishna will tolerate that. It has never been like that before. It has never been at any time. The sinfulness of the present civilization. Not civilization. That's not civilization. Even the animals don't kill their children in the womb. Even they don't do that. Even the animals don't push a button and millions of people go up in flames. You know, it's the worst civilization of all times we are living in. And it's getting worse and worse. Srila Prabhupada said one time, he said, don't come back, because the world you will find is not the same. It will be worse. And you can see from the time Srila Prabhupada went on to now, I can see in 50 years, it has gone down the drains. It has never been as worse as that. Even at Prabhupada's time, there was still hope. There was still a whole generation who fought against materialistic establishment. You know, and many vegetarians appeared after that. But this is just the pits, the present situation. It's the pits means it's the bottom, right? Mankind is in at this time. And so Krishna, he comes for that person, Vinasha Chaduskritam. And he sends a virus. What is the name? And Prabhupada came to New York and started to, somebody gave him a typewriter, and he started to translate his Bhagavad Gita. You know what the brand of the typewriter was? Print, you can, I can send you a picture if you have it. It says Corona. He was typing on a Corona typewriter. I find this very indicative, you know, very indicative. He was preaching on the Corona because it is like that. Even that virus is sent by Krishna. It is not, it's one of the plagues in biblical literature. So many takes, a plague is coming in terms of famine or in terms of black pestilence. And people, they knew this is sent by God. They merely said this is sent by God. Now nobody thinks about it. They think they come out of nothing. Like the baby comes out of nothing. They have no explanation. They don't know that the soul enters the body at the time of death. Oh, excuse me, at the time of death and then birth, right? It enters the time at birth, the soul enters, they have no knowledge. They don't know. They think it is all evolution. Evolution means development by little increments, you know, little different, gradually, the bear turns into whatever. But you explain to me how an ugly caterpillar, they're not beautiful, an ugly caterpillar can rise into a butterfly, which is extremely beautiful, within seconds. They cannot explain that. The evolutionists cannot explain. This is a work of God. This is Krishna's fingerprint. The butterfly is actually Krishna's fingerprint. If you find a fingerprint, you know somebody was there. Right? That's Krishna's fingerprint. And there are actually other fingerprints as well. They're all over the creation. The fingerprints of Krishna. Like if you have, say you have a mouse trap. You want to build a mouse trap. You have to have all the nine ingredients, I was told, for a mouse trap. You have to have all these nine ingredients there at the same time. How can they develop? By natural. How? They have to be all there at the same time, then you can assemble them. If one part is missing, it won't work. How many monkeys it takes to type Hamlet of Shakespeare? You can engage billions of monkeys, and maybe one monkey got one word right. But these are thousands and thousands of works. How by chance? This is insanity. They're trying everything, even coming forward with such insane arguments. A human eye has 20,000 components by chance. You know? This is... Why are they like that? Why people are like that? Because they do not want to accept the authority of Krishna. That's at the bottom. You know, there are two types of living beings. Some are divine and some are demonic. And so the demons, they do not want to accept the authority of Krishna. You know, they don't. You know, everything is there, everything is given in Krishna, everything is explained. How the universe is, I think I talked about this in my previous lecture, how the universes are are born. Did we discuss that subject? No? Well, scientists, they created this huge particle accelerator in Switzerland. collider, hereby jamming the particles into each other. And they admit we are, this every day we're becoming more confused. That every day we're using the collider, the theory we had last night becomes overturned. And there are so many different interpretations. We become completely confused the longer we work with this thing. Because if you want to understand the origin of the universe, you have to have piety. Without piety, you cannot understand anything. Only by undivided devotion can I be understood as I am standing before you. That's what Krishna says, right? So you have to have piety. These people are impious. They will never, even if they go on for millions of years, they will never be able to understand the origin of the universe, which is, we understand very simple, that Lord Mahavishnu lies down on the causal ocean, Karana Dakasha Vishnu, and from his pores of the universe, of his body, the universes are popping out, and they develop, till the point is reached that Lord Vishnu is breathing again, and they fall into this body. They know, they can tell, scientists know that the universe has a half-time. That it is expanding now, it will, how do you say the opposite of expanding? Contracting. It will contract. They know that. But why? They will never be able to understand because they are not devotees. We know by hearing Shabda Brahma, not by sense perception, not by anumana, by mental concoction, science. This is not, these ways of understanding truths are fruitless. You understand something when I look at the sun in the morning here, when I go up there and chant, I see there's a round disc, and it's up to, I have to stop walking by 9 o'clock, it becomes too much. Why? Because it becomes too hot. In the beginning, when it just rises over this Brahmachari building, it is red, hot, red, and it is not very warm. I need a shudder, right? So by sense perception, by seeing, first it's white, then it's red. The other way around. First it's red, then it's white, right? So that's by the eyes, and by the tactile senses, you know, by touch, the sense of touch, it's very cold in the morning, then there's a short time where it's very comfortable to sit outside. And it's there's a time at noon you don't want to even go outside because it's unbearable. So that's our perception of the sun. It is not untrue, but it is partial. It is partial. There's more to it. So by mental speculation and by investigation and research, we come to the conclusion that the sun is so many millions of years of miles away, and it is so and so hot, and there are eruptions on the sun planet, and so many things. They know quite a bit, but they don't know everything. What they know is not untrue, but there's a complete different reality there, namely the world, the dimension of the sun god. There is the inhabited. We know this from scripture. You know that if you go to Vrindavan, we say you cannot buy a ticket to Vrindavan. I bought so many times a ticket to Vrindavan. You pay the rickshaw wala. But that's not Vrindavan. It is Vrindavan, but it's not the whole thing. The whole thing of Vrindavan we have to understand from Shabda Brahma. We have to be on that level to perceive it, and if you're not on this level to perceive it, then we have to hear Shabda Brahma, you know. It's still not realized, you know. Like the first way to perceive things, according to Jiva Goswami, Pratyaksha, direct perception. Then higher way to perceive things, by Anu Mana, you follow your mind. Anu means follow, you follow your mind. Mental speculation, research, science. And then last way is by Shabda Brahma. So by Shabda Brahma we understand what's going on the sun planet, what's going on the moon planet, what's going on in Gupta Vrindavan, in the hidden Vrindavan. But by sense perception and by mental speculation, you can never understand. So if you realize the Shabda Brahma, then we come, interestingly enough, to Pratyaksha. The circle has been closed. That Pratyaksha is different. That prayer is direct perception of the self. It is a king of knowledge, Raja Vidya, Raja Guyam, the greatest secret, Pavitam, pure, Idam Uttamam, the highest, Pratyaksha Avagamam Dharmyam, there you have it. It is the perfection of religion. You actually see. You actually see Krishna. You actually see. We are not on that level yet. So that Pratyaksha, you have to be A, free from all desires, all free from all sin. You have to have a taste, ruchi, for the holy name. And you have to be completely detached from matter. Then, yes, Pratyaksha. So this verse is just such a beautiful verse, Raja Vidya, Raja Guyam, Pavitam, pure. Om Pavita, we say this when we have Yagya. Pavitam Idam Uttamam, the highest, Pratyaksha Vagamam Dharmyam. And then Susukam Katum Avyam, enjoy, celebrate. Celebrate. That's the way where we will go. Susukam Katum Avyam. Ultimately. You know, after many, many births, Bahunam Jamanamanti, Jnanamam Prapadyati, Vasudeva Samamiti Samatma Sudulabaha, that we can actually see Vasudeva. Arjuna, he could see Krishna, but still his vision was limited. So therefore he said, I would like to see your other self. And Krishna says, for that I have to give you eyes that you can see in Bhagavad Gita. I give you divine eyes. And then he saw the whole thing. You see? So in the same way, if he want to see the Gupta Vrindavan, the hidden Vrindavan, Krishna has to give us eyes to see. By the mercy of Krishna, not in any other way. Rupa Goswami, he saw. Sanatana Goswami. What was it? Shyamananda Prabhu. Shyamananda, he found a little bracelet in Nidubam, one of the forests in Vrindavan, surrounded by high wall. And he was sweeping, although he was old. Every day he would sweep. He had this devotion to Krishna. And then one day, it was in the dawn, there was a bangle there. He picked it up and he saw, oh, it is shining. It is like phosphorite, you know. If you have a phosphorite item, it shines, you know, in the darkness. He picked it up. This is not an ordinary bangle. He put it into his pocket. Little later, Narita appeared. And she said, Shyamananda, you have this bangle, give it to me. It is owned by Radharani. He said, I don't give it to you. I'm going to give it to Radharani myself. So, because he was a very pure soul, Lalita said, all right, I have a kunt. You can go into Nidubhan, there is a kunt. It's called Lalita Kunt. You know, so he went into the kunt. He said, take a bath. And he came out like a beautiful gopi, gorgeously dressed and beautiful sari and ear, belt, everything perfectly. Nice tilak on his forehead. And he walked up the stairs and there was Radharani standing there smiling. And she said, give me that bangle of mine. So he gave it there. He gave it to Radharani and she was so happy with him that she took this tilak, this ring, this bangle like this, and made a tilak on his forehead, a different tilak. And she gave him a little deity of Krishna. You can see that deity in Radhisham temple, not far from Loi Bazaar, on the way to Radha Damodar. Radha Damodar is on the left. When you leave Loi Bazaar, 500 meters and 100 meters or 50 meters from Loi Bazaar, same street, on left side there is this temple, Radhisham. And Prabhupada used to go there, and that's one reason why our deities in the temple are called Radhisham. Because Prabhupada liked that deity very much. He used to go from Radha Damodar there in the morning to have darshan. And so this self-manifested deity, if you stand in front of the altar, you see the deities, different acharyas, including Shyamananda Prabhu's Radha Krishna. But if you look at the site, there's a little altar and there's the self-manifested deity that came from the hand of Radharani. It's right there. You know, you can see it. It was a Krishna deity, so they made Radharani. You know, but this is actually coming from the spiritual world. How fortunate we are. How fortunate we are. We can see even something that comes right from the spiritual world. A deity that came from heaven, from the spiritual world. I was in the National Space Museum in Washington. And there's, when you come inside, there's a little box, a glass box. And there's a moon rock in it, from the moon. And all the people go there, you know. Namo Vishvapadaya Krishna. They're worshipping the moon rock. What is the use of that? There's no use in it. But we worship Radha. You can. This is real. This is actually the reality here. And people cannot see it. They cannot see. They cannot see there's absolutely no difference between the deity and Krishna. We cannot either see. We take it as face values based on teaching. But to come to that pratyaksha, to actually see that, that's a very high level. One time, Rancho Prabhu, he's an old English devotee. We are friends since a long time and still are. And he saw Prabhupada standing in front of Nandaneshwara, the first deities Prabhupada installed in the Western world. And he was praying. And Rancho went to Prabhupada and said, Srila Prabhupada, I saw you praying today in front of Nandaneshwara. Are these your favorite deities? And Prabhupada said, that would be sense gratification. Even that little, to give preference for one deity, he considered that sense gratification. He was so pure. Whether he goes to Dallas, whether he goes to this place, that place, he always saw Krishna. How, if you see that that's Krishna and that's Krishna, how can you say this is better than that one? You know, so he was situated in truth. You know, you could see this, that Prabhupada was a person who was completely situated in truth. I saw, and we had a festival in Sweden, and so Prabhupada went to different universities, and there was one university that I knew. It was a famous university. It was full of young people who were anarchists and Bolsheviki and socialists and communists and everything left as you can go, right? Left was there. There was not a single conservative university student in the university. He was driven out. He couldn't be able to stay there because there was such a revolutionary group. So when Prabhupada came in this room, in this hall, he immediately understood, Krishna immediately told him, these are atheists, they're demons. They don't accept anything. So then Prabhupada, what did he talk about? What do they believe? They believe in the classless society, right? There's no classes, classless society. So Prabhupada said, today I want to talk to you, I'm glad you all came, I want to talk to you about the four classes of man. That's like poison. You know, people couldn't believe their ears that he would come and talk about the four classes of man. This is the worst you can say to a socialist, right? Because he wanted to, you know, he wanted to you know, stab them, you know, to get them into action. And so he talked there. First class man is Brahmana, second class is Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. And all these places are distinct, and even in modern society there are people who are Brahminical, or people are Kshatriyas, there are people, etc. He went on and on and on. You know? And he said, those who are at the top, they're first class, the Brahmins. They are learned, deeply learned. And so one boy couldn't hold himself anymore. I said, of course, you think you're first class. sitting on a high seat in front of all your followers are sitting on the ground, and you sit on a high seat in front of them, covered by flowers. And I was sitting right there, my blood was boiling. I mean, if Prabhupada would have told me, get him, I would have jumped up and just murdered him. I was so angry, you know, that he would insult Prabhupada like this. But then I saw something very beautiful. That Prabhupada said, no, no. Like this, like a child. He said, no, no. You misunderstand me. He said, I'm not first class. And so everybody was silent when he said that. You could hear a pin dropping on the ground. He said, I'm not first class. He said, I'm actually fifth class. We were shocked. Everybody else was shocked. And then he said, because, and I was sitting there, 3 foot, he said, because I'm the servant of everyone. And two big tears ran down, huge tears came down his cheeks. I had to cry. It was so moving that Prabhupada, he was speaking the truth, that he is a servant of everyone. Everyone. Even when the people of other faith, he was serving them. Even if people would insult him, Prabhupada was serving them. He was praying for them. Whatever happened, Prabhupada was your ever well-wisher of the whole civilization. He was free from envy. Even if he could be sometimes very loud and angry, it is not our anger. We become angry, because of lust, anger, greed. Prabhupada's anger was different. It was angry for Krishna. That when he saw Krishna was minimized. In one lecture of Prabhupada in Calcutta, the Naxalites came, communists, and they were pushing towards the stage, and the devotees were jumping up. Prabhupada was singing there, his eyes closed, you know. All of a sudden, they grabbed one devotee by the dhoti and tried to pull him down. So Prabhupada woke up, you know, from his trance. He woke up, he took his cartels and ran from the Vyasasana and smashed this guy on the head. He was bleeding. He was bleeding. Prabhupada was like a lion, like a ferocious lion. And the guy, he was, sorry, Swami, sorry, sorry, Swamiji. And Prabhupada sat down and went on, continue this kirtan. His anger could swell up. It was holy anger. One time, I think I will coming to the end of this class now. Did the bell ring already? No, so we have time. One time, our leader, he came to the conclusion in Germany that our temple is too difficult to maintain. And Prabhupada was there, he loved that place. He said, buy it immediately. And we didn't. There's a whole story about it that I do not want to tell in front of their lordship, not to sadden their eyes. And so we came to Prabhupada. He wanted to hear, because he heard about it, that we wanted to sell the temple. And it was our leader, and it was Veera Vyas, now Gauravani Maharaj, and myself. Because we were kind of, you know, the big boys at that time. And so we sat in front of Prabhupada, and he said, I heard you wanted to sell this temple. Why? And our leader, I didn't speak, Veera Vyas, now Gauravani Maharaj, we didn't speak, we just listened, because it was a small voice. And so he spoke, and he had so many arguments, and every time there was an argument, Prabhupada said, no, 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 you keep it, because there are so many good things about it. You may say something, there may be some problem, but you see the whole picture. You have 300 acres of perfect land. You know, 20 minutes out of Frankfurt, 20 minutes out of Mainz, 20 minutes out of Wiesbaden. These are huge cities. I say, you can preach like anything. And again, our leader would speak. He said, but. Then Prabhupada. You know, now, please, particular Matajis, be careful. I will scream now for a moment. Not that you have a heart attack. So Prabhupada said, very peaceful, he said, even if your child, fasten your seatbelts, if your child has been born deaf and blind, does it mean you kill it? I mean, you could hear it 500 yards away. He was roaring like a lion. He was red in his face and blue almost, and his lip was trembling. Ask anybody who sat in Prabhupada before Prabhupada when he became angry. It was, and then he again screamed, once more, "I won't do it, because I don't want anybody having a heart attack." And then he became very peaceful. From one second to another, he turned it on to make a point, not to satisfy his frustrations. Why do people become angry with somebody? Because they satisfy their frustrations, sense gratification. No, he turned it off like a radio. And then he said very peacefully, "Because it is not your place, it is Krishna's place. Even if your child," it was beautiful, he said, "even if your child has been born deaf and blind, he cannot hear, does it mean you kill it?" He screamed again, "Does it mean you kill it?" "No, Srila Prabhupada," he said, "yes, don't kill it." He said, "Don't become rolling stones, you know, the stone that rolls from one place to another in a river, and never," he said, "set moss on the stones in the creek that sit there for a long time, they have moss. Sit down. Don't roll from one situation into another." And it has been so later, and the German yatra is rolling ever since, from one situation and the other. You know, so Prabhupada, he could be angry, and I have witnessed it two times, even three times. It was amazing how he was in control of himself, although he could roar like a lion. It was Krishna's anger, like Krishna, you know, he is always very peaceful, but he can become very angry. And so the whole world is worshipping him because of that, because he's in complete control. And Radharani, she's completely satisfied with her position as being the female expansion of Krishna. Like if you look in the heavenly planets, even in the spiritual world, in Vaikuntha there's Lakshmi Narayan. Right? Or even in the heavenly planets. And none of these wives, or none of Radharani, Vishnu, who is expanding himself as a Mahavishnu, so Lakshmi will not say, "Why are you expanding himself into the universes? I want to have the same thing. This will also come from my body." This is old time philosophy. This is Taliban. You know, this should come from my body as well. And why are you standing on the battlefield? I want to fight as well. She never speaks like that, because even on the highest level, it's understood what is our position. What is our position? You know, even in the material world, what is our position? We have to understand our particularly dharma and act according to this dharma. And it's dangerous to follow somebody else's path. I thank you very much. It was wonderful to talk to you today on this nice Monday morning. I wish you all the best in your Krishna consciousness. If you keep on, you will flourish. You cannot avoid to flourish in Krishna consciousness if you keep going. It just takes a little while. Like one time a devotee was complaining about another devotee. And Prabhupada said, "Why are you complaining? Why you should go?" Prabhupada said, "He is a green mango." So the devotee was saying, "What does that mean, Srila Prabhupada, green mango?" He said, "Well, if you buy a mango, if it's green, it is not very tasty. You can use it for chutney, but for consumption it is not very tasty, it is bitter. But if you wait for some time, 3 weeks, it will be very sweet." And so devotees also, everybody will be very sweet in due course of time. Even if you have some fault, everybody has some fault. Don't look for that fault. What about yourself? You know, what about yourself? Very simple, as soon as somebody criticizes, simple things, what about yourself? You know, there was a last story I'll tell you before I go. No, I'll tell you another side. That's it? Question? Prabhuji, 9 o'clock, There's Brahmacharya Ishta Goshti. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.